Tradesmen, here's the plan. Get to the rendezvous, you contact the foreman, we'll show you the ropes and the tools. Get into your job and get out. You'll be sipping margaritas on the beach before you know it. But first, prove you're a guy they can trust. Show them your direct line public liability policy, which has been conveniently wired to your phone. And tell them you're with the Wolf. Let's get to work.
Get instant confirmation of your cover sent straight to your smartphone. Can your insurance do that? Search Direct Line Public Liability Insurance. Valid email address required. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Blog Talk Radio.
So do you think Julian Assange is going to survive the night? Well, that is the question. Welcome to One Dimitri Radio. I'm Dimitri, the lovable libertarian, here on blogtalkradio.com, Facebook Live, and tonight, say hello to all my friends on Twitter with Periscope. So we're all over the place tonight. Great interview for you this evening. We've got former Congressman Bob Ney, who's back from India. Apparently, he's picked up a new girlfriend there. She's got like eight arms. So he's going to be talking about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, what's going on in Ohio, because that's really a key state. Lots and lots of good stuff for you this evening. All of it right here. We do this 9 p.m. Eastern Time weeknights on blogtalkradio.com, Facebook Live, and tonight Periscope as well. And so welcome the universe. welcome. So do you think Julian Assange is going to survive? Now, the reason that I ask this is because there was already a threat on his life. Somebody tried to kill him. I absolutely believe this, and I'll tell you why. Because, okay, a little background. First, WikiLeaks is this wonderful organization that is breaking news all the time. Stuff that newspapers used to do and other, you know, journalists. But now it's WikiLeaks because all the, you know, the media is in the tank with all the, you know, the government officials. And it's all just god-awful. So what WikiLeaks is doing is getting lots and lots of information, releasing it to the public, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But a lot of governments don't like Julian Assange and WikiLeaks because, well, he's doing all of this stuff. And so they came up with some trumped up charges in Sweden that maybe somehow he might have been involved in some sort of nefarious thing with some women. It's all crap. So this poor guy now is living in the Ecuadorian embassy in England. He's been there for several years. Hillary Clinton has actually said that she wanted to have drones try to take him out. We've had Bob Beckel on the Fox News channel say they wanted him dead. I mean, people actually are talking like this. I mean, it's like crazy time here. It's just absolutely crazy time. So a few weeks ago, at the embassy in England, Ecuadorian embassy in England, where Julian Assange is staying, the police in England had the place ringed because the moment that Julian Assange tries to leave the Ecuadorian embassy, they're going to snatch him. They're going to try to do whatever they can to him to try to throw him in prison. It's just so awful what is being done to this poor guy. I feel terrible for him. I really do. So what happened was this. There was an attempted break-in at the Ecuadorian embassy, and some guy, like in the middle of the night, supposedly was trying to, it was a cat burglar, and he was climbing up a wall trying to get into the Ecuadorian embassy. Now stop and think about this. Ecuador is this tiny little nothing country near those Galapagos Island things where that Darwin guy was with that boat of his, and looking at all those finches and all their beaks and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, Ecuador has nothing. And the only thing of value at the Ecuadorian embassy in the United Kingdom has got to be Julian Assange. So the cat burglar tries to break into the Ecuadorian embassy in the middle of the night. Mind you, remember what I just said, that the police had the whole place ringed for months, probably years, and security cameras and everything. But somehow they missed this guy getting into the embassy. And so, but fortunately, the Ecuadorian security people stopped him, but they couldn't catch him. And so he left. And then they reported this to the police, and the police took, 2 hours to finally get over there. Well, the fix was in, obviously. Somebody was trying to kill him, and the UK government was just turning a blind eye to the whole thing. Absolutely believe that's what went down. In fact, I will bet you your last dollar that is exactly what happened. So now you've got Julian Assange saying, I've got this damning information regarding Hillary Clinton. Now I'm going to be releasing it Tuesday morning. Now we're doing the show, streaming it Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time here at the intersection of freedom and fun, trademark, service mark, copyright, patent pending, don't steal it. And so in a few hours, if Julian Assange can somehow survive the night, then he is going to be releasing all this information. I don't know what it is, but he's saying it's damning information about Hillary Clinton. And WikiLeaks is not the type of organization that's had a history of fluff, of over-promising anything. So my guess is it's one of several things. For example, what it might be is Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, arming ISIS. I wouldn't be surprised if that whole thing in Libya was just an excuse to arm ISIS. Can you imagine what the voters would say if it turns out to be true that Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, was sending arms through Libya, that whole crazy Libyan thing with the deaths of all those poor Americans, and sending arms to ISIS? Can you imagine? That's where my money is on. Now, there might also be some issue, which I think could also be even bigger. Well, actually, it would be bigger. And that is that there's a connection, a big, serious deal connection with President Barack Obama. In other words, he knew about Hillary's rogue server and all of this stuff. That's why you don't see any emails from him on the servers. All, you know, you see emails from Colin Powell and everybody, nothing about from Barack Obama, which says to me he had to know. It was an open secret inside the Beltway. So if Julian Assange has information about President Obama knowing about the server with Hillary Clinton, oh my God, that would be unbelievable. That would be incredible stuff. And then, of course, there's like a million and one different things connected with the Clinton Foundation. God only knows. But the big question is, will Julian Assange survive the night? I don't know what the over-under is, but I'm going to stand the sidelines on this one because it could really go either way. And really, think about this, that you've got a situation now in the world where you've got people publicly saying, whether it's Hillary Clinton, let's do a drone strike on him, or Bob Beckel saying, let's take this guy out, or others pretty much saying the same thing, where they want this guy dead. They just want him dead because of all this WikiLeaks stuff. And I'm going, I'm losing my mind here with this. This is not the world that I know, America that I know. This is insane, absolutely insane. So I could see this happening. Again, that whole cat burglar thing was, I think, just an excuse trying to kill him. I wish to God that the Ecuadorian security people had held on to this guy, because I would have been really interested to see if they would have found any type of a gun or knife on him. He's a cat burglar, so he wouldn't be having anything like that on him unless he was there to kill Julian Assange, which I think this is what the real thing is all about here, to be brutally honest with you. All right, so we have that. I'm here in the LifePedigree.com studio at the intersection of freedom and fun. LifePedigree.com is this wonderful company that will help you if you have a business. If you have a business and you've got resumes coming in, God only knows how long it's going to take for you to review each resume to see who's telling you the truth, who actually does have a military record, who wasn't in prison, and on and on and on. It's going to take forever. But if you use LifePedigree.com, they will do that for you, and all for a very, very low price. So here's what you do. Send an email to LifePedigree.com. It's sales@LifePedigree.com. In the subject line, put in my name, Dimitri. That's with three I's, D-I-M-I-T-R-I, Dimitri. That way they'll know you're part of the Dimitri ecosystem, and that way they'll know you're not spam, you're not some goof, you're a legit guy. And so you send the resumes to LifePedigree.com. LifePedigree.com reviews the resumes, knows how to access all the different databases, so they get all the information. And then the resumes that actually do check out, that people are actually telling the truth, they put the seal of approval on it. You get the resumes back, and then it'll be easier for you to decide who to interview and who to hire. Sales@LifePedigree.com. Dimitri in the subject line. Again, Dimitri with three I's, D-I-M-I-T-R-I, and LifePedigree.com will take very good care of you. I know these people. These are great Pittsburghers. These are terrific people. Wonderful idea. Sales@LifePedigree.com. Now, one of my favorite audio clips ever is the head of the FBI, James Comey, a lawyer, who had, it was before Congress just a few days ago, and he was pleading with Congress to say, please don't call us weasels. Please don't call us weasels. One of my favorite clips of all time. Let me play this for you. I've got it queued up here. I love this thing. Here,
we are not on anybody's side. This was done exactly the way you would want it to be done. That said, questions are fair. Feedback is fair.
Absolutely. But the foot soldiers, we use that term in the civil rights movement, your agents on the ground, you take issue with whether or not they were compromised or they were adhering to somebody else's message. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. You can call us wrong, But don't call us weasels. We are not weasels. We are honest people. And we did this in that way. Whether you disagree or agree with the result, this was done the way you would want it to be done.
One of my favorite quotes of all time, one of the audio clip that I might love more than any other audio clip, the head of the FBI saying, don't call us weasels. We're not weasels. Well, he's right, because weasels would never do what we found out now that the FBI did. This is unbelievable. Just when you thought they could not be more weasel-like, the FBI does this. I actually couldn't believe this story when I read this in the Drudge Report. But you know, here it is. Here it is. The FBI, you know, don't call us weasels, that FBI. The FBI agreed to destroy laptops of Clinton aides that had immunity deals. They destroyed the laptops. The FBI said, yeah, you can destroy them. Okay, here's the story. I'm going to read this thing to you, but it's really an amazing story. The FBI destroyed laptops of Clinton aides after reviewing immunity deals for two top Hillary Clinton aides, including a side arrangement obliging the FBI to destroy their laptops. It's unbelievable. The aides are Cheryl Mills, who apparently is like the ringleader of all this thing for Hillary Clinton, and this staffer, Heather Samuelson. And it's the immunity deals for Mills and Samuelson. Okay, they were agreed. Okay, the side deals to destroy the laptops. Now, think about this. The FBI and the Department of Justice, it's all the same thing. It's all the same political whores, have given immunity to all these people because they don't want anyone to know, you know, to get arrested, to be charged with anything. So everybody gets immunity deals. But now it turns out that the immunity deals extend even to the laptops. So even though these people got immunity deals, they said, well, that's not good enough, FBI. We also want to be able to destroy our laptops. And the FBI, the weasels at the FBI said, oh, okay, you can do that too. Now we're finding out. This is after Comey is saying, don't call us weasels. We're not weasels. Well, he's right, because weasels would never do this. Weasels are just these little mammals who just run around, you know, eating rats or whatever the hell they eat, minding their own business. At least they're not trying to undermine the very foundation of our republic. But that's what's going on here now. The FBI agreed to this. Yes, we'll give you immunity. You're free. We'll even give immunity to your laptops. Yes, you can destroy. I can't believe this. You can destroy your laptops. This is perfectly fine with us. We have no problem with this. Destroy, 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 destroy. It's just like, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, we do this 5 nights a week, 9 p.m. Eastern time on blogtalkradio.com, on Facebook Live, and tonight on Periscope. So thank you so much for joining us, everyone. You can follow me on Twitter. You can also follow me on Facebook. You can also friend me on Facebook, although we're almost up to 5,000. So there's not a whole lot of room. And most of the friend requests that I get are these beautiful young women who have pretty much nothing except that they've got, you know, hot bodies and they're showing a lot of cleavage and all that. And I always say no, decline all of those friend requests all the time. It's like, no. But you can follow me. And so by all means, please do so. You can download any episode of One Dimitri Radio on blogtalkradio.com. And I'm still waiting. And by the way, a great interview tonight with Congressman Bob Ney, former Congressman Bob Ney, who was a very big deal guy in Congress for a very long time, then got into a little trouble with the Abramoff scandal, ended up going to the big house for a little while, but came out a much better man. Wonderful, wonderful guy. Really enjoy talking with him. He gives you great insights. He's terrific. So I've got this great interview for you tonight, and I hope you like it. All right, we have that. Again, what I've been talking about, and still I don't know of anyone else who has been bringing this up, but this whole thing with Hillary and protecting her and protecting all of her people, it's not about protecting Hillary. That's a means to an end. What's really going on here is they're protecting President Barack Obama because he had to know about Hillary's server. He had to know about all this stuff. You never see any emails from him, even though she was Secretary of State using a private server, which tells you right there that he had to know. Now we find out from WikiLeaks, thank you, Julian Assange, that the president was using an alias. He had to know. So all of this stuff, immunity to all of Hillary's people and no charges against Hillary and even immunity to the laptops, it's not about Hillary. It's about protecting Barack Obama. That's what's really going on here. And no one else has been bringing this thing up, and I keep hammering away at this thinking someday somebody else is going to figure this thing out. I can't be the only one who's figured this thing out, but apparently I am. So at least you know that. Now, we've got a lot of friends on Facebook Live who have joined us. I'm going to go right down the list here to say hello to them. We've got Kevin and Jim and Fergus. Oh, Patagonia, that's where he is. I knew it began with a P, and it was somewhere down south. And I mean really, really south, like south of South America. Patagonia, this guy, Fergus Hodgson, very good guy. Friend him, follow him. Terrific libertarian guy. Although he's got a funny accent. He's from New Zealand, where they've got those kiwis. The birds, not the fruit, although they might have kiwi fruit there too, come to think of it. I don't, that's New Zealand. What do I know? Anyway, Patricia's joining us, and Dan, Jennifer, again, thank you so much. Kevin, okay, and Nicholas, and Desmond, Greg, Kevin, Rich, Caroline, Steve, Michael, Dave, John. This is just fantastic. Plus all our friends and followers on Twitter, on Periscope. So this has just been absolutely, wonderful, wonderful night. All right, so we have all of this stuff going on. Also, Donald Trump, help me understand what it is about this story that is causing the media to go so crazy. Donald Trump had a loss in one of his businesses back like 20 years ago. He lost like $1 billion. When you're a multi-billionaire, a billion here, a billion there, I guess eventually it all adds up. But, okay, so he lost like crazy numbers, let's say $1 billion. So he takes losses, which is all perfectly legal for future years, so he doesn't have to pay any taxes, which to me is smart. I would love to have some sort of deal where I won't have to pay any taxes legally. So that's what Trump does. So now somebody leaks some of these tax forms or tax returns or whatever they're called to the New York Times. And the New York Times, being in the tank for Hillary, goes, aha, here's something from 20 years ago. It looks like Donald Trump hasn't been paying any federal income taxes. Well, okay, but that's legal. It's all perfectly legal. If you have a big loss, you can carry it forward. I mean, it's perfectly legal. What's the big deal here? But you've got Hillary Clinton and her apologist going, oh, this is awful. This is terrible. He should be donating. And I'm going, what you people are crazy? What's the matter with you? Turns out now that Hillary Clinton used the same accounting device or technique, whatever it's called, to shield some of her income. And again, perfectly legal. I don't care. I'm a libertarian. I don't want anybody to pay an income tax. I hate the income tax. The year 1913 was a really, really bad year because not only did you get the income tax, but you also got the Fed and some other bad stuff that I've forgotten now. But it was a very, very bad year for liberty. Oh, my God, it was terrible. So, okay, you got this now with Clinton and Trump, rather. And now we find out that the New York Times also pretty much did the same thing in like 2014 or 2013, where they had some sort of a loss. And so they didn't pay any federal income tax. And it was like, and again, I have no problem with that. I have absolutely no problem with that. But you would think that Donald Trump raped a dead goat or something like this because, oh, he didn't pay any taxes, any federal income taxes. And by the way, this is another thing that the media does. They're saying, well, he didn't pay any taxes. Well, he paid lots of taxes, like most of us do, 101 different types of taxes, including federal taxes, but not income tax. That's the difference. And so, again, if you have a president who knows what the tax laws are and uses them to his advantage, and it's all legal, what's wrong with that? I don't see what the problem is. I really don't. I have absolutely no idea about this. Anyway, Michael reminds us that taxation is theft. Yes, but it is legal. And so even though we don't like it, the best way to get rid of it, to take care of it, is to repeal the, was it the 16th Amendment? Was that the IRS or the, not the IRS, but the Income Tax Amendment? I think it was that one. So I don't know. We will see. Justin has joined us. So thank you very much, Justin, greatly. In terms of the election, Hillary Clinton, again, should be up by 50 points, and she doesn't know why she's not up by 50 points. The latest, oh, I love this. This is so delicious. This is so deliciously wonderful. Hillary Clinton at a fundraiser. Boy, I don't know what it is with these politicians. I don't care if it's Mitt Romney at a fundraiser or Barack Obama at a fundraiser. But whenever they're at fundraisers, they say stuff that they don't normally say when you and I are listening. Well, back at one fundraiser in like 2007 or 2008, I forget when, President Barack Obama talked about a lot of people in Pennsylvania, like me, saying that they're bitter clingers. And I'm paraphrasing here. And when I say bitter clingers, I'm not referring to the character on MASH, the guy from Toledo who dressed like a woman, not clinger like that. But he said that that there are, you know, people in Pennsylvania and this part, you know, the tri-state area here, southwestern Pennsylvania, northern West Virginia, the northern panhandle, southeastern Ohio, that we bitterly cling to guns and God and something else. I forget what exactly. And it was like, ooh, people were going crazy, as they should. This was at a fundraiser. Then you got Mitt Romney in 2012. He's running against Obama. And he said that, well, 47, I'm paraphrasing here again, 47% of the vote, you know, they're just people who, you know, are on food stamps or, you know, care about the government and this, that, and they essentially wrote off 47%. And it's like, oh, my God, you can't be this stupid. You can't be this stupid. Yeah, actually, he was that stupid. But now Hillary Clinton, we find out at a fundraiser back in February when Bernie Sanders was knocking the crap out of her with all these different primaries and caucuses and all that. She tells her fund, her funders, the money people, oh, the Bernie Sanders people, they're just kids living in basements, and they're going to be baristas, and half of them don't have this and whatever. I mean, just putting down these millennials like you wouldn't believe. And, of course, she needs the millennials. She needs younger people, blacks and whites, because she's having a hell of a hard time. She really is. At this stage of the election, Hillary Clinton should not having to be forced to shore up her base. Her base, every Democratic presidential candidate's base is the black vote. Black voters are overwhelmingly voting Democrat. They're the most loyal voting bloc in the Democratic Party. They're extremely loyal. I'll never understand why, but they are. Like, okay, fine. That's what black voters do. I, you know, whatever. So, fine. So, Hillary, this should be a given that she should be having all of these people. But she is having a very tough time, especially with younger black voters, because many of them believe in the Black Lives Matter movement. Many of them know that she and her husband, Bill Clinton, were involved in this terrible legislation back in the 90s, where they targeted young blacks. And in fact, this one famous speech that you see, I mean, you can see it anywhere on YouTube, Hillary Clinton is saying that young black males should be kept to heel, you know, like an animal, like a dog, and that they're super predators and they should be thrown in prison. It's just absolutely unbelievable. And a lot of, you know, Black Lives Matter people, younger blacks, are going, now we're on to you, lady. We're on to you. All the prisons are full of a lot of young black men, lives ruined and all that because you and Bill Clinton did this in the 90s. I mean, absolutely shame on them. Absolutely shame on them. And so Hillary's got lots of problems trying to get black voters, and she absolutely needs to get every black voter to have a shot at winning a lot of the swing states where black voters make up an important percentage of the population. And if you lose just a few of them, you could end up losing the state, whether it's Florida or North Carolina, or Virginia, or Pennsylvania. And of course, she's already lost Ohio, even though she's got LeBron James to endorse her today. Whoop the F and do. So Hillary Clinton now is saying that, and I'm paraphrasing here again, that she doesn't know what exactly it's like to be a black grandmother. That black grandmothers, you know all this stuff and this, that, and the other going on and on. I'm going, I'm losing my mind. I can't believe that I'm hearing this. This is like crazy talk. But then it was like, oh, right, she's having problems getting black voters because she needs all the black voters. Anytime you hear Hillary Clinton or President Barack Obama or First Lady Michelle Obama or any other spokesman for Hillary Clinton talking about black voters, why black voters have to really support her and all that, they're telling you they've got a problem because that should be a given. That should absolutely be a given. At this stage in the election, that should be all tied up, should be in a nice, neat bow. And I guess the best example might be all the time that they're spending in Pennsylvania, southeastern Pennsylvania, a lot of black voters there. And I've mentioned before that Donald Trump, if you want to understand Donald Trump is essentially Howard Stern in politics. Howard Stern, very bright guy, very intuitive, outrageous, but not malicious. and has an awful lot of Black and Hispanic listeners to Howard Stern because they know he doesn't talk down to them. He speaks their language. Donald Trump is the same way. He's a blue-collar billionaire. And I believe, I absolutely believe this, that when the election is finally done, that you're going to find one of the great storylines is that Donald Trump got a surprisingly high percentage of Black and Hispanic voters because many of those people are aspirational and they're going, what have we got to lose? So let's just try this. And so there you go. So keep looking for this storyline. Hillary Clinton or President Barack Obama or Michelle Obama trying to get Black voters. They should not be doing that at this stage of the campaign. What they should be working on is trying to win over undecideds, shoring up the millennials. They've got all sorts of problems. And it's starting with Black voters. And that really should be a terrifying thought for campaign Clinton. Really terrifying thought. Anyway, we do this weeknights, 9 p.m. Eastern time on blogtalkradio.com, Facebook Live, and tonight on Periscope. So I want to say hello to all my Periscope friends as well, all the followers. Great interview tonight. Geraldine has joined us. Rosalie has joined us. Congressman Bob Ney. And you're going to hear the interview on blogtalkradio.com. We can't do it on Facebook Live and also on Periscope because the systems don't they don't match. They're all like goofy and all weird and all that. So you got to listen on blogtalkradio.com. The show's One Dimitri Radio. And we're getting a hello from Steubenville, Martoni, one. So that's great. Steubenville, just there a few days ago, by the way. Steubenville, yes, the home of Jimmy the Greek and also of Dean Martin. The wife was there at Denmark, former Denmark something across the street from the courthouse. There's an antique store there. The wife bought a bench. And an old beat up crap thing, but it's like, oh, it looks so real, it looks so authentic. It's like, no, it's an old piece of furniture, it's an old piece of crap. And she puts it in our car, my car, and in the back seat, and it's just, it's awful, it's dirty, but she loves it. Anyways, we were just there in Steubenville, and we weren't shot. We were not shot. We were able to park right in front of that Denmark, now at antique something or other store. We were not shot. The wife got the bench that she liked. It's in the backyard now. So she's happy. And if the wife is happy, I'm happy, or at least relieved. I guess is a better way of saying it. It's actually a much better way of saying it, come to think of it. So anyway, so thank you very much for that. All right. We're going to play the let me do the James Cole. I just love this audio clip. And then we'll do the Bob Ney interview. And it's a great interview. And I hope you like that. But James Comey thing here. One last time here, if I may. Hold on a second. Just bear with me.
We are not on anybody's side. This was done exactly the way you would want it to be done. That said, questions are fair. Feedback is fair.
Absolutely. But the foot soldiers, we use that term in the civil rights movement, your agents on the ground, you take issue with whether or not they were compromised or they were adhering to somebody else's message. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. You can call us wrong. But don't call us weasels. We are not weasels. We are honest people. And we did this in that way. Whether you disagree or agree with the result, this was done the way you would want it to be done.
We are not weasels. Now, of course, we find out that these weasels gave immunity to the laptops of the people who also got the immunity. They were able to destroy the laptops. Can you even believe this? I mean, they don't even bother pretending anymore. They don't even bother. It's just, oh, God, it's all over. It really is. Please share this. Kirk has just joined us. That's great. Please share this with all of your friends and followers on Facebook and also on Twitter. And again, thank all the people who are watching tonight on Periscope in addition to Facebook Live and listening to blogtalkradio.com. Got this great interview with Congressman Bob Ney. Congressman Bob Ney, I'll never understand it. I love Bob. I really do, in a manly, non-threatening sort of way. He spends a lot of time in India. Now, this is a guy who grew up in Bel Air, Ohio, southeastern Ohio, coal country right along the Ohio River, used to steel and manufacturing. I mean, the whole tri-state area, steel and everything else. And he ends up being this big deal congressman and all that. And now he's spending a lot of time in India, this third world cesspool, and he loves it. He thinks this is great. And he's going on and on about how nobody in India ever hurts anybody else. Meanwhile, India and Pakistan are ready to go to war, and they each have nuclear bombs. So there's that. Also in India, a lot of people there. This is not an exaggeration, by the way. I've actually read this on the internet, so I know it must be true. Many people in India don't even have plumbing, like indoor plumbing or even outdoor plumbing. What they do when they need to take a crap, they go out into a field and they squat. Well, they take their clothes off, then they squat and they crap. And I mentioned this to Bob, and he's trying to poo-poo it and downplay it and all that. But I'm going, no. I read this on the internet. I've seen this. This has to be true. So I don't know what Bob's deal is with India. I have no problem with India except for Bangalore. Don't get me started on Bangalore. Bangalore is where they have customer service centers. God, I hate those places. Anytime I can buy anything like at Best Buy or at not Apple, but Best Buy or other places, and something breaks, you know, the printer doesn't work right, or this thing doesn't work, or that doesn't work. Well, you can call customer service. But in order to call customer service, you've got to put up with people whose English is not their first language. It's their second or ninth language. And it's always in India, or sometimes the Philippines, come to think of it, but certainly India, Bangalore. I know Bangalore. And so you're calling, you know, the people in Bangalore, saying, is this HP customer service or whatever it happens to be? I don't know if it's HP. And they go, and they always have these clipped English accents. Very nice people. Very nice people. But you can't even understand them. And the phone connection isn't good half the time. And then they're trying to figure this out. And it's just awful. It is just awful. Anytime I hear a foreigner with customer service, I cringe because I know it's going to take forever. They won't exactly understand everything. But you don't want to get angry at them because they're very nice people. They really are trying very, very hard. English is not their first language. And I feel like a jerk when I start yelling at them and cursing them and all this kind of stuff. But that goes away, the feeling like a jerk part. That goes away pretty quick because, hey, I'm the one who's paying for this stuff. But anyway, Bob Ney, who I do really like this guy, he's got this thing about India. And he does these Facebook Live things. And you see these people in India, and it's like, oh, isn't this interesting how they're making bread or how they're, you know, lifting water up to the third floor. And I'm going, what's the matter with you? These people are living in the third world cesspool. They barely know what the wheel is, for heaven's sakes. Everything is so primitive. It's so filthy. God, is it so filthy. Just seeing it on Facebook Live, everything is filthy. People are very nice. They're always smiling. They're always very pleasant. God bless them. I mean, that's fine. But he's just going on and on about India. Anyway, so turns out my sources tell me, they're hinting around. This is not official, by the way. This is not official. But that Bob Ney might have a girlfriend in India. Might. Now, if you listen to the interview tonight on blogtalkradio.com, you will hear we actually start talking about that. And he switches the subject very quickly. And I asked him a simple question because, again, I'm on the internet, so I know these things. I asked him if his girlfriend in India, because, you know, they've got a caste system there, and you got the untouchables and then the sort of touchables and then the kind of touchables. And then it's just the craziest thing here. I asked him because I'm figuring, you know, with Bob Ney, she's got to be like one of the untouchables, like at the bottom of the caste system. Well, he's Bob Ney after all. I said, is she one of those women in India who has eight arms? Well, now the reason for that is I have seen pictures of women in India, well, mostly drawings, but they have eight arms. Apparently they've got some thalidomide issues there or whatever, I don't know, but some sort of defects where a lot of the women who seem to be very nice and very rich, God, they love gold, but they have eight arms. And so I asked him kind of innocently, well, sort of innocently, does your girlfriend there in India, and, you know, one of the untouchables, does she have eight arms? And he started to laugh, ha, 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 but he never answered the question. And so that's part of the interview. So you might want to listen to that part of the interview and ask yourself, is it possible that Bob Ney, who's got this insane attraction to India, has a girlfriend with eight arms? I don't know, which I think would be very cool, by the way. It would be very cool. Because if you had a girlfriend with eight arms, can you imagine the fun that you could have in bed? Oh, my God. It would be unbelievable. It was just absolutely unbelievable. Of course, you would probably lose a fortune in gloves because you got to pay for like four pairs of gloves. And then you go to one of those Vietnamese nail salons. Oh, forget it. You'd lose all your money. I've got eight arms. I've got five fingers on each. And so five times eight. Common core. It's a friendly integer. It's a lot of fingers. It's a lot. Anyway, so that's part of the interview as well. So listen to that. Let me know what you think, if you would. All right, Dave is writing in on Facebook Live. We all understand how bad Hillary Clinton is and wants to be POTUS. My question is, what is Trump going to do for us? This is a serious question. Well, part of it, he's going to build a wall, and Mexico will pay for it. That I'm quite sure. I believe he's going to get rid of a lot of the EPA regulations. I think it'd be great for the coal country here in the tri-state area. I think it's going to be great for coal and for fracking and all that. That part's probably going to be fantastic. And a lot of people don't realize this. Among the two, if you look at just the two old party candidates, Hillary Clinton, who is a soulless witch, or Donald Trump, who is not a soulless witch, Donald Trump, of these two, now again, as a libertarian, I'm voting for Gary Johnson, even though I know he's kind of a goof, and lately he's been saying stuff and doing stuff, mostly saying stuff, that it just drives me crazy. But he's the best libertarian we got. That's the guy. I'm voting for him. That's all there is to it. He drives me crazy, but that's it. But of the two old parties, Donald Trump by far is more of the peace candidate than Hillary Clinton. It's not even close. It's not even close. Hillary Clinton loves war. She's got blood on her hands, not only the war, you know, voting for the war in Iraq, but the whole thing in Syria and Libya and all that. She loves war. God, she loves war. Donald Trump doesn't. Donald Trump loves deals. And deals, in government speak, is called diplomacy, negotiating treaties and all that kind of stuff. And Donald Trump has said, you know, maybe we shouldn't even be in NATO. Maybe these countries that we've been protecting for all these decades should be able to protect themselves now, that kind of a thing. And he's not even a war, you know, saber rattling with Russia. If you limit yourself, which by the way is a mistake, but if you do limit yourself to a choice between the two old parties and peace is very important to you, Donald Trump is much closer to being a peace candidate than Hillary Clinton ever will be. It's not even close. So that's what Donald Trump, I think, will bring. Let's see. John is calling in. Dude, are you a perv? Well, define perv. Just define perv. I can tell you that when I lived in Tampa, Hillsborough County, I got a full pardon from the governor, and the records have been sealed for 75 years. It was just a terrible misunderstanding. Let's see. John is writing, I have friends in India, great people. Well, I don't know what makes them great. People are people all over the world. And so, okay, Bomb is a recruiting for the Hare Krishnas in Moundsville. I don't think Bob Ney is recruiting for the Hare Krishnas in the northern panhandle in Moundsville at the Golden Temple and all that. I don't see him doing that. I could be wrong, but I don't think he's doing that. Anyway, your thoughts, feel free to write them. Edward has joined us, and let's see, who else do we have here? Is any other thoughts? Dude, amp it up. Okay, fine. Anyway, all right. So I think we've covered the main points. Again, we do this 9 p.m. Eastern Time weeknights on blogtalkradio.com, where we'll do the Bob Ney interview in a few seconds. Also on Facebook Live and tonight, and I think I'm going to start doing this on a regular basis tonight as well, or from now on as well, on Twitter, on Periscope. And I want to thank all the people on Periscope and Twitter who joined us. Appreciate it greatly. Thank you for all the hearts, all the good stuff. This is still a work in progress. It's One Dimitri Radio. I'm Dimitri, the lovable libertarian. Please spread the word. Let everyone know. Because we do stuff here, and I say stuff here that you cannot get anywhere else, for better or worse. Mostly better, but sometimes worse. But nowhere else did you hear the story about Bob Ney possibly having a girlfriend in India with eight arms. And also that this whole cover-up with Hillary Clinton and all her people, and now immunity extended to the laptops by those weasels at the FBI. All of this is really to protect the president of the United States. And no one in the media has picked up on this yet. They still haven't figured this out. And it's just, I brought this up to Bob Ney. Bob Ney is a very shrewd politician, very shrewd. And you could hear him take a deep breath, a pause and go, when I mentioned, you know, Bob, everybody thinks this is about protecting Hillary. It's not. It's about protecting Barack Obama. In order to do that, you've got to protect Hillary and everybody at that level, or else they're going to spill the beans. And you could hear him go, my God, Dimitri's right about that too. He didn't say it, but you could hear that he was thinking it. And anyway, you'll hear the interview and you'll go from there. So thank you again for everything. I appreciate it. Hold on a second. Facebook graffiti. Yeah, this actually is kind of Facebook graffiti, Dimitri graffiti, if you will. And we'll do it again tomorrow night. Now, the interview, I cannot play that on Facebook Live or on Periscope on Twitter, but you can go to blogtalkradio.com. It's one Dimitri Radio, the digit one Dimitri Radio, all one word, and you can hear it and have fun with that. So here's the interview.